Look in Psalm number 73. Psalm number 73. And, you know, we've talked about this before as far as the book of the Psalms. Book of the Psalms is separated into itself into five different books. And each section begins, you know, with a certain beginning and has a definite psalm at the end that kind of, you know, sums up that thought probably. And as you get into this one, Psalm 73 starts the third book. Now, you know, of course, the thrust of the whole book of the Psalms is these are all songs of praise to God. I mean, that's what a psalm is, or that's what its intention is. And they are written, of course, we know most of them, majority of them written by David. But this one that we're going to look at this morning, I hope your Bible notes this, that it is a psalm of Asaph. And Asaph was a singer and a leader in the things when David was around. So he has written, and this is not the only one, he's written a few others that are noted for him also. But the 73rd Psalm, to me, man, it's a great psalm. I mean, it's one of those things out of the book of Psalms that just I could preach on it a lot, and you know, you get a lot of thought and a lot of stuff out of it. But I want you to just read a few verses with me, if you will. And I know it's got several verses, got what, 28, but we'll read several of them. And notice what the psalmist says in verse number 1. He said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression and speak loftily, and set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore the people return thither, and the waters of a full cup out are wrung out unto them. And they say, how doth God know? Or is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." Let's have a word of prayer, if you will. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us and all the things that you've done. And God, we thank you for the songs and for the joy and the worship there is in them and for the truth. And thank you for your word and the reading of it. And I pray now, you just take these few words, this little time, encourage our hearts and encourage our thoughts, and bless us to open up our hearts this morning and to be attentive unto your words. And we'll just give you praise. And if there's somebody here today and they need salvation, draw them to a place where they can find that they have that blessed assurance that Christ Jesus has redeemed them from their sin. And we'll just thank you and praise you for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, I want to just give you this morning, the title to this. We're going to call it The Testimony of Treatment. The Testimony of Treatment. Now, we read there, you know, about the first 16 verses of that. And then as you go on through this, verses 17 and following, you see where Asaph, he's you know, kind of looked at the situation and saw how bad it was, how everybody that's not godly, how it seems like they're doing well and they're prospering. And he said, and you know, I didn't know what to think about it. When I thought to know this, when I thought, well, what about all this? He said, it was just too painful for me. But then, he says, until I went down at the house of God. And when he got to the house of God, something happened, he says, that showed me their end. I see how they're going to wind up. And then he begins talking about all of the things that he begins to see and how that God speaks to him and what God shows him. And you see there in verse number 22, he says, so foolish was I and ignorant. And I was as a beast before thee. I didn't understand it. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Look at verse 26. It said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in God that I may declare all thy works. Amen? I mean, as I said, this is a testimony of treatment. A testimony of treatment. Now, I hope you'll see that and you'll understand that as we get into it. You know, there are a lot of things that people say when you greet them and when you meet somebody out in public or somebody you haven't seen or maybe somebody you have seen. And people ask you, and they ask you some questions sometimes as an introduction just to, you know, well, normally we say a very brief one like, how you doing or how are you or how are things going or that kind of thing. But sometimes, you know, people will ask this question. I think I've told y'all this before. People look at you sometimes and they'll say, well, how in the world are you? How in the world? I won't know today. How in the world are you? Are you in this world? Are you of this world? Are you attached to this world? Or I guess maybe a better thought than that would be is, how is the world treating you? How is this world treating you? And I believe as you look at these statements and these things that the psalmist says here, as Asaph begins to pin these things down, and you could ask him and say, hey, Asaph, how's the world treating you, buddy? And he said, let me tell you how this world is treating me. As I began to look at this world and I began to see some things, I could see exactly how this world is treating me. I'm telling you, can you see that in what he says as he begins here in these first 16 verses or so? He begins to talk about how his treatment is in the world. And I want to ask you, how's the world treating you? I've had people ask me that before and down through the years. And finally, you know, I was praying one day and God said, here's what you need to tell folks when they ask you how the world's treating you. I tell them, just like it's supposed to. You know, I'm telling you, this world is not my home, the songwriter said. I'm just a passing through. Oh, my treasures are all stacked up somewhere. They're out beyond the blue. Amen. And heaven's open door is calling for me to come. Buddy, I'm telling you, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. I mean, the world is treating me just like it's supposed to. And I'll tell you, it's treating you just like it's supposed to. Do you see what you hear here out of Asaph as he's writing this down? First of all, I want you to see what he said. Look in verse number 2. He said, but as for me, he said, God's good to Israel. I can tell you, God's good to Israel. All of those has got a clean heart. God's good to, he said, but as for me, I'll tell you what we'll do sometime. We'll get to looking at ourselves, won't we? He said, but as for me, let me tell you about me, he says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I felt like I was slip sliding away just about. Why? He said, because of this world. For I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, look what he said in verse number 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. You see that? He said, I want y'all to know, first of all, how this world's treating me, first of all, just like it ought to. But I want to tell you, for me, it brings some discouragement. For me, it brings, and you know what he's thinking? He's thinking the same thing that me and you think many times. When you see things going on in this world, you think, where is God in all of this? Where is God and his righteousness in all of that. I can't figure this out. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And because of that, it discourages me sometimes. I mean, you look around and you say, why in the world do the wicked and the evil seem to flourish? And I want you to know, and you got to agree with, it's discouraging sometimes. I mean, you see things on the news and you see some old stinking bum out here that's molested a child or done some horrible deed and, you know, set somebody through a gasoline bomb at them and set them on fire. All that crazy stuff. And you think, where is the righteousness of God in all of this at this time? And it can get discouraging. And you'll even see some of those situations where somebody will get off scot-free and they're smirking and they're laughing and they're just, you know, like I'm something and I'm somebody and I got away with something. And you think, where in the world? Why did this happen? How is the world treating you? Just like it ought to. It will discourage you sometimes. Not only that, it will disillusion us many times. Look at verse number 7. And see how he further, he says, their eyes stand out with fatness. In other words, they have just got everything. I mean, they're eating sumptuously. They're doing good. They're having, I mean, they're having steaks and taters every day. And man, what's going on? Their eyes stand, they have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They just think there's something. They just boast and brag. They set their mouth against the heavens. I've seen people that say, well, if there is a God, just strike me down right now and we'll know. And they'll stand there and say, see, there ain't no God. I mean, just being a smart aleck. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongues walketh through the earth. They curse and they use foul language and they've got wickedness on their minds. And it said, and therefore his people return hither and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They can do all of this and the waters of a full cup. And what he's saying is, I'm a little bit disillusioned with that. When I see these things happen, it's like, again, how are they getting by with this? Where's the repayment? Where's their reward? And all of a sudden, you know what they get? Waters of a full cup wrung out to them. They just get more and more and they have everything they want. Boy, doesn't that break your heart? Doesn't that just about make you mad? Doesn't it hurt you sometimes on the inside? And then I want you to notice this. You see that he looks at them and he says they've got no problems. They've got no penalties. But all they've got prosperity, they've got pride, and it looks like they've got plenty, and more's coming on the way. And that's a disillusionment, isn't it? I mean, you think. Now, sometimes we think that, and you know, we think, and you go back sometimes and read the book of Job, and you'll see that Job's friends tell him, buddy, you've done something wrong, because look at the situation that you're in. Look what's happened to you. Job lost all of his camels and oxen and all of his children and their houses. And I mean, everything that he had, Job lost her all. And he sat down and he said, you know, that he was bewailing the day that he was born. And his friends came and said, yeah, you've done something. You're a sinner. You're rotten. You stink. You need to repent. You ain't right with God. I mean, that's piling on him. And I'm telling you, when things begin to happen in our lives sometimes, we see how others are doing well, we get disillusioned and say, what's the use in even serving God? I just don't know what in the world. Hey, I'm just about ready to give up and throw in the towel. And that's where Asaph was. He was discouraged. He was disillusioned. And I want you to know, he really looks like he even thinks it's like a darkness. Look in verse number 12. He said, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, he said, I've cleansed my heart in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Just like here I am wandering around in the dark and I don't have a clue about what's going on. I can't tell. And, you know, he questions the value of living right and living for God. He said, look, they're out here doing whatever they want to. And he said, I must have cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocent and done all that in vain, because it seems like every time I get up, I'm plagued every day, chastened every morning. If I was to say something against them, I've done wrong. I'm just in trouble. I don't know what in the world to do. Like he's walking around in the darkness and he doesn't understand the situation he's in. I mean, he said, look, it almost appears that there's no advantage to living for God. And don't tell me, every one of you in this building have been there. You've seen things and seen people's life, and you said, God, I'm still here, and I'm broke, and I live here, and I'm hurting here, and I've got this situation, and you just sit there and you say, this ain't right. It ain't fair. It's like you're walking around in the dark and saying, God, don't you see me here? And it's like he doesn't even pay attention to you sometimes. Amen? I mean, it seems like that sometimes. And that's what Asaph is saying. And I'm just telling you, that's how the world will treat you. How in the world are you doing? I'm doing in the world just about like I ought to be doing in the world. That's what this world has got to give us. But aren't you glad that Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Woo! Hallelujah for that. Amen? Hey, how in the world? How's the world treating you? How in the world are you? And let me tell you, sometimes people will say this, and probably not so much as they used to, but people used to come and say, well, you know, maybe they hadn't seen you, and they say, well, how in the devil are you doing? Right? Have you ever had anybody tell? I've had people, you know, when we was younger and kids, probably used to a long time ago, they say, well, you know, how you doing? How in the devil you doing? I don't know how you doing in the devil today. There's some folks that live there, amen? I mean, they may be your neighbors. They may be your housemate. It may be your kids. It may be your spouse. I don't know. But I'm telling you, sometimes the devil is present before us and we don't know what to do, amen? I want you to go back and look at that little verse that he just mentioned. And he said, verse number 10, he said, therefore, look at that verse. He said, therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Now he just got talking about the people that walk through the earth with their wicked tongues and all this vulgarity and garbage and junk. And he's talking about all that. And he said, his people. Well, I'm wondering who his people are. Now, there's probably some discussion theologically on that, and I got it, and I've read it, and I know. But I want to tell you, I look at it this way. I think that's Satan's bunch. His people. You see that? Then his people, therefore his people, return hither. Hey, when they're out there, and they're in all this mess, and they come back to him, water of a full cup's wrung out to them. And, you know, I'm telling you, hey, When you think about how the devil is there, I mean, there's some things that Satan wants to do to me and to you. And it works. First of all, let me tell you this. Satan wants you to question God. Question God. Question about God. Have some questions about the situation going on in your life and in the things about you. And the devil wants nothing more than for me and you to question what God is up to. Amen? You remember in the very beginning when Adam and Eve are in the garden and the serpent comes to Eve to tempt her, what does he say? Well, does God really know what? Did God really say that? Do you really think that you'll die? You know, all he did kept planting question after question after question, getting Eve to question God. Amen? And I'm telling you, when you get in some of these situations, you will begin to have questions in your mind. And you'll begin to develop some doubt down on the inside. And don't tell me you don't, because I know all of us have been there. There's a time when those things come and it hurts. And it hurts. And you wind up like Asaph. And you feel like, boy, when I thought about all this, it was just too painful for me to even think about it. It hurt me. It hurt me. The devil, he wants you to question God. He wants to quench your fire for God. If he can put you out from being on fire for God, he's just got... You know what your Bible tells you? And over in the book of 1 Peter, he said, for your adversary, the devil, he said, he roameth about. He's looking for somebody to pounce on and to cause problems with. Your adversary, that he's as a roaring lion. He seeketh whom he may devour. He's out there trying to put out your fire. You're excited about what God's done in your life. You're praising God. But guess what happens? Hey, something comes up. And it causes you to have those questions, those doubts, those fears. And then he says, oh, where's your God at now? Where's that God that you saw? Where's he at? You remember we talked about those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over in the book of Daniel. But they got on fire for God. And then they got in a fire with God. Amen? Can I tell you, hey, the king, and I believe he's motivated, of course, through Satan, and he said, throw him in the fire and let the fire. Hey, can I tell you, when you get in the fire, the Lord will join you in there and he'll help you out, amen. Don't let your fire go out for God. I mean, stay fired up. Get your heart solid. Get yourself wound up. Say, God, let me burn for you, amen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, somebody... A long time ago, I asked John Wesley. They was asking him when he was in one of his heyday times and had a lot of people come and hear him preach. And they come to him and they said, well, Brother Wesley, what is it that makes you, you know, draw the crowds and do the things that you do? He said, I don't know. They said, well, there's got to be something to it. What do you think it is? He said, well, all I can tell you is that I ask God to set me on fire and people come to watch me burn. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way you and I as real Christians ought to be. We ought to be set on fire. We ought to be burning for God. We ought to not let the devil quench that fire. Because that's what he wants to do. If he can throw a wet blanket on you, if he can calm down your, well, now you just need to get over that. Don't get too excited about this religion. Oh, that stuff will make you crazy. It'll make you act fun. Everybody will turn against you. Now, he'll tell you everything that he can to discourage and to, as I say, bring in doubt and fear, all these things. He'll try to quench your fire. Amen? He'll try to. You can see Asaph is seeing all of these things that are happening. And he said, man, I just don't know what to do. He said, here they are, and they've got their garments are about them. Wickedness is a chain, violence like a garment. He said, they've got everything and all of it, and it's about to put out his fire for God. Amen? You look at people. You look at circumstance. You look at events. Let me tell you, there's a lot of folks watching the TV right now, and it'll put the fire out on you. When you see what's going on over in the Middle East, it brings some things to heart that a lot of folks will say, oh no, where's God and what's he doing in all this? Honey, you better buckle your seatbelt and hang on, because I'm telling you, Jesus is still coming again. Right. Amen? I believe that. Hey, the devil wants to quench your fire and your thirst. And he wants to quiet your testimony that you have for God. Asaph said, well, God's good to Israel and all them, and all of them's good, you know, the clean heart. He said, but as for me, I just about fell. I just about quit. I just about went off the edge. I just about gave it up. I just about quieted my testimony for the Lord. Can I tell you, don't ever shut up about him. Don't ever get quiet about Jesus. Let the Lord's name be praised. Let folks know about what he's done for you. They say, well, you ain't much. So, honey, you don't know what's going on in here. You don't know what I got up there. You don't know whose I am and who I belong to. Amen. Woo! Don't ever let this mess and this stuff that goes on. They come in and they say, well, you know, I'm driving my new car and I'm living in a new house. And what do you got? Look, you just down there. Woo! I'm telling you. Tell them they don't know the half of what you got. Amen. Hey, the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon, the half hadn't been. I'm telling you the half of what the Lord's doing for us, what he's got for us. Hey, we don't know. Amen. Do not let anything that's going on in this world quiet your testimony for him, because that's exactly how the devil will be doing in your life. Amen? Well, let's just ask one more question then. What in heaven's name are you doing? Amen? What in heaven's name are you doing? You ever had anybody say that to you? What in heaven's name is going on here? What are you doing? Well, aren't you glad there are some things that are going on in heaven's name? I mean, how's the Lord treating you? How is the Lord treating you? I mean, sometimes you got to step back. And that's why I'm saying the treatment of testimony. You got to step back and just take a look at it and say, yeah, things are bad out there. Yeah, this is going on. Yes, I see the wicked, and I know they're prospering, and I know they seem like there's no end to their good. But you got to step back and say, now, what's the Lord doing for me? What's God? Hey, can I tell you? I've already told you. God's good. Amen. Oh, you and I need to understand about the goodness of God. Amen. Boy, God is good. Look, flip on over, if you will, just a few pages to Psalm 136. It's just a few pages on over in most of your Bibles. Flip over to 136 and read just a few verses. Listen to what it says in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And to him who alone doeth wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, his mercy endureth forever. And he goes on and on and on, and he talks about how that God's good and his mercy endureth forever. Amen? I'm telling you, that's what we ought to be doing in heaven's name. There ought to be some stuff. It ought to come out of us. Hey, Asaph is looking at some things here. And he's talking about, you know, David writes this over in Psalm 27, verse 13. David said that, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I'd have really been in a mess if I had not expected and had seen the goodness. Hadn't you seen the goodness of God? Can't you sing those songs? God is so good to me. Amen. Oh, can I tell you, you and I ought to be thanking him. We ought to be praising him. Listen, he got you up this morning. He gave you the strength to get ready. He let some of you come up here and sing in this choir. He put a smile on your face, put some food on your plate, put some clothes on your body. Hey, he's good. Amen. God's good. Amen. Oh, Asaph said, boy, I was just about to have a bad day. I was about to run into a depressing time. He said, but then I went down at the house of God and I understood that these people, these things, this world, and that Satan is going to have their time too. Amen? Hey, you know what you need to do, what we need to do? First of all, you and I need to let him open our eyes. Look what he says here. Verse number 16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Listen to what he says. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they're utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to let God open our eyes. When God begins to open your eyes, he'll show you where you're standing and where they're standing. You'll understand, as he says, what their end is. God can open your eyes today and let you see. Amen? You remember the story in the book of 2 Kings when Elisha is there with his little servant boy and they're surrounded by their enemy. I believe it's the Assyrians. The armies are all about them. And that little boy goes out and he looks and he said, "Oh, we in trouble now, y'all." He looked around. There was an enemy that completely encircled them. He goes back in. He said, "Elisha, we in trouble, buddy." He said, "Oh, really? What's wrong?" He said, "The enemy surrounded us." And he said, "Well, can I tell you, those that are for us are more than them that's against us." And he said, "Where are you getting at?" He said, "Well, step outside again." They walked outside and he prayed and he said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And he began to look around and he said that the heavens were filled with the chariots. They were filled with the angels. It was filled with the cherubim. It was filled with the army. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "There are more that are for us than those that are against us." Amen? Can I just tell you, that's the same God that you and I serve today. That's the same God we've got. Oh, Asa said, "Man, God, will you just open my eyes? Let me see where they're headed and where I'm headed. Let me see what they got and what I got." And buddy, can I tell you, hey, well, there's a lot of folks in the Bible that thought whoever the rich man was over in the book of Luke, well, they thought they, well, we know him and he's doing well and all that, and he'll probably be in heaven. Can I tell you, Jesus told that story and said, the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torments. Amen? And Lazarus, the beggar, was in Abraham's bosom being comforted. Can I tell you, it ain't all in what you and I can see down here. But you let God open your eyes. He'll show you a little bit more. He'll show you what the truth is. He'll show you what you need to sustain you in this life and get you ready for the one beyond this. Amen? Woo, open our eyes. You better let God open your eyes. Second of all, realize this. You and I need God to let God open his arms to us. Look what he says here. Verse 21, he said, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." But listen to this in verse 23. "Nevertheless," he said, "I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand, and thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Amen. What do y'all think about that? He said, he's going to open his arms up to you. He said, "Hey, I got my eyes open and I saw where they were and where I was." And then he just opened his arms and says, "Come here. Let me just give you a big old hug. Let me just embrace you. Let me just give you something that you need to make it through today." Amen. Woo, he said, "You're holding my hand." Hey, you ever think about that? When your kids is little, what do? "Now you hold my hand. We're going to go across this street. We're going to go through some dangerous time. We're going to go through some rough area. You just hold on to my hand and you'll be safe." He grabs a hold of us. He walks us through some of this stuff. He walks us by these things of this world. And thank God, you can say, "He's got a hold of my hand." Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all glad for that? Sometimes we'd sing that song out of the old blue book that said, "He'll hold my hand. Someday I'll travel my last mile here." But can I tell you, when we get there, he'll hold my hand. "As over Death's River I go, then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know." Amen. Aren't you glad you've got that? Thank God he's holding on to you. He's got open arms. He says, "Come here. Come here." Boy, you ever remember when your kids is little? Some of you got kids, grandkids now, and they get fearful. They want to run, jump in your life. Woo, you've got somewhere when this world is bugging you, when this stuff is coming again, you got somewhere you run and jump in the lap of a loving God. He'll wrap his arms around you. He'll love on you. That Holy Ghost will come down, give you one of them big old smooches on the cheek. Woo, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, friend, hey, he's got his arms open for you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Thank God for that. Asa said, "Boy, I'm about to get ashamed of myself. I'm glad God opened my eyes. Glad he opened his arms for me." And then listen. Hey, he says, "I want you to realize He'll open my heart and your heart to Him. Look what He says in verse number 25. He says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He said, for lo, he's opened his heart now, hadn't he? He said, God's the portion of my heart. He's in there. Oh, listen, he's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. The wicked, they got a place. They're going to go. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But listen, it's good for me to draw near to God. Can I tell you the best thing you can do is draw near to Him? But preacher, they're raging out. Just draw near to Him. But they're look at all. Yeah, well, look at all of that. But draw near to Him. And if you'll just draw near to Him, oh, listen, all that other gets quieted. All that other seems distant. All that other fades when you draw near to Him. Amen? My Bible tells me over in the book of Peter again, Peter said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Amen? He said, but it's good for me to draw near unto God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare. I got a testimony of all of His works. I can tell you what He's done for me. Amen. That's why I say, man, when you think about this, it is a testimony of the treatment. How's God treating you? What's your testimony of how God's treating you? I know how the world's treating you. I know how the devil's treating you. But, hey, can you tell me how God's treating you this morning? This world is not your friend. The devil's not your friend. He's an enemy. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. As I say, he's your adversary. He's after you. He's on your trail. He's trying to mess up everything that he can. But aren't you glad? There's some loving arms that you can run to. Amen. Get there and he just says, yeah, you're my child and I'm your father. Amen. Paul talks about when we pray over in Romans chapter number 8, talking about praying. And he said, and we cry many times. We do. We cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba is the Middle Eastern term that doesn't just mean father. It's that term that means daddy. Amen? I mean, you ever, I can remember, we had a preacher's meeting. There was a fellow there, and he's probably close to 80 years old. And he got talking about his boyhood, and he began to talk about his daddy. And I thought, man, you're 80 years old. What are you talking about? And he began to talk about the sweetness of his daddy and who his daddy was to him and what his daddy. And I thought, whoa, hallelujah. Amen. He had a daddy. You know, some folks have that stoic and that. I'll tell y'all something. We had a daddy. Amen. My brother right back there, he'll tell you, we had a daddy. We'd go to him and say, Daddy, we need this or we want that or whatever. And he'd just smile and, you know, we might not, whatever it was. But you knew that you got some love out of it because that's Daddy. That's Daddy. Amen. Oh, you may have that Our Father, that formal stuff. Just get in there and sit in the lap of your Daddy. Amen. And let Him love on you a little bit. Let him soothe and comfort and bless you in some ways that you hadn't been in a long time. How's this world treating you? How's the devil treating you? How's God treating you? I tell you how God wants to treat you. He wants to treat you, the songwriter said, like I am His only child. Amen. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. We'll sing a verse of a